The situation in Cabo Delgado is extremely serious, and it's getting worse almost day by day.
Brian, so basically your report describes three groups in that theater of conflict: the Mozambique Security Forces, the private militia, who you said are fighting alongside the government, and the armed opposition known as Al-Shabaab. It seems your report is suggesting that all sides are responsible for the violence.
It is definitely true that all sides are committing war crimes, and all sides are committing different kinds of war crimes based upon their intentions. It's not our aim to lay more or less blame on any one group. What we do try to do is explain why we think the fighting is happening, and that's longstanding grievances, local people with longstanding frustrations about their political, economic, social, and cultural rights, poverty over generations, long-term underinvestment, lack of education, access to electricity.
When you talk about Al-Shabaab, sometimes we read about jihadists or Muslim extremists. What is the difference here? Are there Muslim extremists in Mozambique, or the relationship to this Al-Shabaab?
That's a good question. So the armed group, we call them Al-Shabaab because that's what the local people in Cabo Delgado call them. They call themselves other names. One of those is that in 2019, they did pledge an oath to the Islamic State. And so they are technically part of the Islamic State Central African province. However, I do want to stress, in our research, these are not outsiders that have come to Mozambique. These are locals that speak local languages. They are well known to the communities in which they are fighting. We had some people that we interviewed say it was very confusing because they recognized the fighters and they weren't sure who was fighting whom.
Why do you think Cabo Delgado has become this fertile ground for the conflict?
Yes, Cabo Delgado is often called Mozambique's forgotten cape because there have been so many years of the central government. Unfortunately, there is this resource curse that we see in other parts of the world where there are gemstones, rubies in particular, in Cabo Delgado. Liquid natural gas was discovered in 2010. There are outside international oil companies, energy companies, that are setting up extraction industries in Cabo Delgado. And the local people have seen outside companies come in and extract the wealth without getting any benefit for themselves. Combine that with a lack of education and a lack of other services, and it's really an obvious breeding ground for an insurgency.
Did Amnesty travel to Cabo Delgado, or how did you go about researching this report?
That's a very good question. So because of COVID, I myself did not travel to Cabo Delgado, and we did not send other researchers there. We conducted all of this research remotely using secure communications. All of the 79 people, internally displaced people that we spoke to, we have kept their names anonymous for their own security reasons, because there's a history of reprisals from the Mozambican government from people that talk about the problems in Cabo Delgado. But what we also did was conduct what we call an open source investigation. We looked at videos from the region, photos from the region. We have photos and videos of Dyke Advisory Group's operations, of torture and executions by the Mozambican security forces. And then very importantly, we did a lot of satellite imagery research where we were able to map the homes that were burned to the ground in these villages and towns. And that really confirmed, you know, the testimony research we got from talking to the displaced persons.
Brian, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. And thank you for your interest in this report.